But as far as the race night went, we saw some incredible performances. Mark Purden centre stage, Mark and Natalie and the All-Stars team centre stage with three of the group ones. Of course, David Aiken picked up a couple as well. But the Miracle Mile was the feature race on the program, and it was quite an exciting finish.
Second quarter was 28.2. They worked their way off the back in 55-1, and the leader Spankham. Second is My Alpha Rock. The inside sweating on the out is the Fixer. Here comes the Tiger. Roaring around the outside, Tiger Tara goes up three wide. Then Yaya's Hotspot, followed by Poster Boy, desperately needing racing room. And Chase Auckland peels to the outside, 27-2 the quarter. And Spankham tries to kick away. The Fixer's away from the inside to give chase. So too Poster Boy. It's too big a task for Tiger Tara. On the inside at Spankham. Inch by inch, the Fixer's cutting back the margin. Spankham's lifting. Spankham on the inside. It's an All-Stars Quinella, and Spankham beats the Fixer, Poster Boy, and Chase Auckland down the outside.
Yeah, great call there, Freddie. So Spankham, the Canadian Club sprint winner from a couple of weeks ago, going back to back in the big group ones.
Yeah, very, very talented four-year-old Simon Spankham. You got to remember, this horse is 4 years old and has just gone out and won a Miracle Mile. The race was an absorbing one. There was a lot made of the speed map, and as we welcome in Mick Gearan, it was a very hard race to map, Mick. And I guess from what we saw, there were some expectations that Spankham could get across. I suppose one of the surprises was Tiger Tara didn't contest the lead, and unfortunately, mid-race, we lost Myfield Marshall. Good morning, Mick.
Morning, Fred. Morning, Simon. And a big hi to everybody. I hope they enjoyed their Winks Day yesterday and their Spankham night last night. And look, the race changed complexion enormously inside that first 400 metres, because I think a few people had the Fixer leading as their most likely scenario, which sort of unfolded for the first 200. He held them pretty easily, but Spankham was the one who really changed the complexion of the race. Went forward, got that lead. Mark Purden actually went forward with the intention of settling outside the leader, thinking Tiger Tara would have come forward and he'd sit in the 1-1. But after he'd gone 200 metres, he looked across, saw that he had half a length on the Fixer, and he's got the momentum up, and Tiger Tara wasn't outside him. So all of a sudden, he was either going to be sitting parked or pressing on past the stablemate. He did the latter. And Fred, after that, you never wanted to be on anything else. At the top of the straight, there were only two chances. And I thought the Fixer would come off Spankham's back and beat him. He is, after all, the New Zealand Cup winner. But he had every chance to do so, absolutely no excuses. And the horse who 3 weeks ago, when he had a foot abscess, was actually heading home to New Zealand. And they couldn't get the right plane for him. They had to keep him in Sydney. And they thought, well, since we're here, we'll go around in the Canadian Club Sprint, as Simon mentioned, and they did that. They won it, and now they've won the Miracle Mile. So this goes to show you how the fortunes of horses can change. The two other Group 1 winners on the night, or the All-Stars, also weren't certain to contest their races until 2 weeks ago. So I suppose it's horse training, fellas. You've got to change your mind, make your decisions, and based on how the horses are. And that worked a remarkable 3 times last night for Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen.
And Mick, poor old Poster Boy wound up 3 back the peg line. It was just too hard from there, wasn't it?
Look, Simon, he actually hit his charts. Like, all he can do is make ground. And to be honest, he didn't make ground. He wasn't overly taxed to try and make the ground he did when Chris Alford worked out that he couldn't run one or two and run past the two horses in front of him. But no horse apart from Chase Auckland made any real ground, Fred. And as I said, it's impossible to make an excuse for any of the horses behind the winner, with the exception of Myfield Marshall, the defending champion, who suffered atrial fibrillation pretty much quick after the start, and that put him out of play. He was pulled up. He'll be fine. There'll be no repercussions from that, but not a great way for his defence to come to an end.
No, he looked a treat, I thought. I really thought Tim had him looking, cherry ripe, but the tickled finger of fate of racing. They did come home in a record last quarter split, 25.4. The previous best was 25.6. So they've come home quicker. And that Nyon made it impossible for anything to make ground, as you just alluded, certainly poster boy from its three-peg pocket. The one that was an eye-catcher from a future perspective, I think, is Chase Auckland. As you said, it was the one that made ground, but having said that, it was beaten about five lengths, about 20 metres. But take nothing away from Spankham. The fixer, I thought, was brave, but I agree with you, Mick. He's got that point-to-point speed, that real ping in his finish, and I thought, hello, the fixer's going to run past him. But I think maybe, and I'll put my hand up here and own this, maybe I underestimated the horse Spankham, and when you consider he's only four, the sky's the limit.
Well, a lot of people have over the course of his career. He was a very good two-year-old of the year in New Zealand, but barely laced at three. Things didn't go well for him. He had a Victoria Derby campaign, and he wasn't the dominant three-year-old last season. It was Chase Auckland. He snuck back into the racing scene this year. They didn't even nominate him for the New Zealand Cup, and they missed the New Zealand Cup with him. They actually raced on New Zealand Cup Day in a junior free-for-all, didn't race in the Cup because he wasn't well enough grounded for it. And then he was the surprise package of the Inter Dominions, which, again, he wasn't going to go to. So Mark and Matt do tend to get their horses fit and then say, look, we'll work out where we're going after all this, because things change so quickly with them. So, as I said, he wasn't supposed to be here for this race. He just found himself back in the zone over the last couple of weeks. And barrier sit, not an easy thing to overcome in a Miracle Mile since it's gone to Menangle. No horse has won from barrier six. That hoodoo has now been broken. So he'll head home to New Zealand, so will the fixer. Posterboy clearly has a big future. He has the Vic Bred series coming up for the four-year-olds later in the season. Chase Auckland will eventually head back to New Zealand. The good news out of the race, Tiger Tara finished fifth in a race he'd never win straight after the start, and probably couldn't win after the barrier draw. Spoke to Kevin Pizzuto this morning. The horse will definitely return to the track next season. So he's going to go for a 6 to 8 week spell. They're going to take Seaman off the horse, so he will stand at stud commercially next season for $5,000, but he'll mix that with racing duties, predominantly because you can take Seaman off them for artificial insemination. He won't need to stand at stud per se as a galloper does. And they're going to take him to New Zealand for the New Zealand Cup and then the Auckland Inter Dominions. That's great to know Tiger Tara is coming back. So he's going to mix stud duties with the racing on the track next season. The good news is, I would suggest every horse we saw in the Miracle Mile last night, of the big guns, of the big six, will be back up and around racing next season, which Harness Racing administrators and fans will be very happy about, Fred.
Absolutely. Just on Mark, before I move on to the Oaks, Mick, he's just a master. He has the uncanny knack of being able to, it just might be a little piece of gear, it just could be something very subtle, but he does with the horses in the lead up to these races. And I, as I said, I'll talk about Princess Tiffany in a moment, but Our Dream About Me, it was being potted left, right and centre, and a lot of people said it, you know, Poison Chalice, Barrier One, it can't win from there. And he just made a little gear change, and the horse, she came off the arm quickly, and, the rest is history. She led all the way. He is just a supreme trainer of the standard breed.
He's the best, Red, and I don't say that lightly. The history of harness racing means a lot to me. I've spent hundreds of hours of my life reading about the history of harness racing and putting it into context, because I think a lot of people get very emotional and they can say, once I've seen a big win, this is the greatest of all time.
Yes.
And you can get a bit nonsensical about things. But the facts just stand up. Mark Purden is the greatest standard bred trainer they've ever seen in the Southern Hemisphere. His winning records are too long. He wins races out of the retention barn, so therefore there could be no doubts about any skullduggery going on. Not that there is, but there always likes to be rumours in racing. He's won more races out of the retention barn than anybody in the history of the sport, because he has so many good horses who race out of the retention barn. He's won every big race, obviously. He'd never driven a Miracle Mile winner until last night. And he's not a person who particularly cares about personal glories, but that ability to not only get the horses fit, but then change your mind and do the right thing by the horse, but also sometimes he's not scared to say, look, let's park this horse, it'll be better for next season. Some of his best horses, Auckland Reactor, Adorme, never raced a two. Last season with Spankham, they pulled the pin when other trainers wouldn't have. Now, he has the latitude to do that because he has so many other good horses, but because he has so many good horses, he doesn't need to be desperate. He doesn't need to say, look, we'll just keep pressing on. and he's the best horse trainer I've dealt with in the standard bred world. I'm not going to put him above Chris Waller or Bart Cummings because I haven't seen enough of the way they did their business in the past or in Chris's case now. But I know a fair bit about how harness racing trainers go about what they do, and he is not a best. He's quite simply the best.
The GOAT, the greatest of all time. There you go. That's a big wrap. The Oaks last night was another one for the All-Stars, and our Princess Tiffany went out as a raging hot favourite, son.
Second quarter was 27-6 on the back of a 29-4. So they've gone the half in 57. And it's still our Princess Tiffany in cruise control at the moment. Comes towards the home turn, a length and a half on Miss Streisand in third spot and starting to yield some ground was Kualoa. Peeling out now, tangoing with Sierra, Cheesy Fingers and Lady Rock and Roller back on the inside. They flatten in 27-3 the quarter. Nat says go. Had a look around. Our Princess Tiffany's three in front of tangoing with Sierra. Then Cheesy Fingers, Arabella Star from a minute back is running down the outside. But it's all our Princess Tiffany, 75 to go. How easy is this? It's going to cruise down our Princess Tiffany and win it by five lengths to tangoing with Sierra. Gee, third's close. I'll go Arabella Star, a nostril, Cheesy Fingers, and a flip of the coin for third.
Well, the official margin, Freddie, was about 16 and three-quarter metres, I think, there to our Princess Tiffany.
In a group one, and I'm going to suggest, and Mick, tell me if I'm wrong, I think if Nat had have let go with some of the vice-like grips she had on the reins, our Princess Tiffany could have won by 26 and three quarters.
It's funny you should say that. I had a number of 30 in my head, Fred. She could have won by so much, it wouldn't have mattered.
She took time off the record as well, the class record for a three-year-old filly. Again, I think she took eight, I think it was 8 tenths. It could have been, you know, a second and a half if she had let it go, Mick.
Remarkably, I honestly believe this, and I've watched both races three or four times now. Had she started from where our dream about Lee started in the Ladyship Mile, she would have won it. A three-year-old filly having a three-year-old filly start. Maybe 12 start. She would have actually beaten her. I have absolutely no doubts about that because her performance last night was just sheer speed for as long as she wanted and did her in front in that Ladyship Mile, which was actually a bizarre race, the Ladyship Mile. We'll get to that shortly. But had she led in that situation, there's no doubt she would out-sprint our dream about me because she's faster than her. So it was quite a remarkable performance. Kualoa went back at the start, but was beaten a long way. I think some of the Emma Stewart horses really underperformed last night. We saw there was Centenario and a couple of the other ones. So they had one of those off nights at the office, which on bizarrely Mark Purden and Natalie Rasmussen had on this exact night last year. So the shoes were reversed on the other foot. She's a very good filly. I'm not saying she's the best three-year-old filly I've seen because the bar is incredibly high for good three-year-old fillies. Our Dream About Me and obviously Adore Me was a sensation as a three-year-old filly, and Taylor Made Blonde going back 20 or 30 years ago. There's been a lot of very good three-year-old fillies, but I'm not saying they're any better than her either. At her best, which I think we saw last night, and with the potential that it could continue that improvement curve, well, the sky really is a little bit.
This is second or third hand, but I was told last night by people that had spoken to Mark that he has her right up there, and we all know you just rattled off some of his top-notch fillies over the years past. He rates her right up there, so that's a big rap coming from Mark. Look, time's getting away from us, so just quickly, the other group ones, the Derby was a real boil-over, but it gave David Aiken his second group one of the night. He won the Trotter's Mile with big Jack Hammer, and of course, and then won the Derby. Any fallout or any further news from some of the favoured runners there, Mick, that dropped out?
Obviously, Centenario had a virus or something. He clearly wasn't right. It wasn't a negative performance. It was just he wasn't right. So willing to forgive on that. Very, very fast time. Great drive from Luke McCarthy in the Derby. Dream About Me won the Ladyship. She was retired immediately afterwards. She'll return to New Zealand and almost certainly go to stud to Sweet Lou because her owners own Woodland Stud and therefore own the breeding rights to Sweet Lou. Big Jack Hammer, great to see Aiky win too, but that's par for the course for him. We know what a good trainer he is. And the Max Delight story is a good one. They paid a lot of money for him as a young horse. But the story of the night outside Mark Purden to me was our Uncle Sam.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting in Group 1, and look, he had every reason to be beaten. He was sitting park with Ashley Locas on his back. That was the feel-good New South Wales story of the night. Our Uncle Sam getting his group one. It may not have been a miracle mile, but to those boys, I'm sure it felt like it's a well done.
Well, they've chased home Tiger Tara in the Hunter Cup and a Dominion Grand Final, and you must have been questioning, geez, is the group one ever going to happen? And to happen on a big stage like that, and as you said, the horse toughed it out. Elmer's Image ran its race in patches, hit the line harder at the back end, and Major Dan paced off the arm, and we saw what he's capable of. He stuck on well after setting the pace and ran third, but no doubt the party's probably still going on in the Frisbee household, and Mick, who would blame them?
I totally agree. It's not an easy thing to do with those cheap little horses, you know, to get up and compete with the big boys and the best stables, but they've really embellished their record over the last 3 or 4 months the Frisbee's had. Wonderful night and wonderful week of build-up from Club Menangle and Harness Racing New South Wales. They got plenty of media coverage. The hype was there. It's lived up to it. I think it was a really good night, and to be honest, I think it's the best night of harness racing in Australia for the entire season. So well done to all involved. I'm sure there's some pretty tired people out in the west of Sydney today and some pretty tired horses, but a lot of people can be very proud of the show they put on. And the great news is most of the big names we mentioned, apart from Dream About Me, going to be back to entertain us later this season, or in fact next season, pretty.
Mick, it's been a pleasure working with you over the last month, and no doubt we'll catch up at the track somewhere along the way, but thanks for your contribution. It's been a great insight.
Hey, Fred, it's my pleasure. Thank you to you and Simon, and good luck to all the listeners heading forward of having a punt the rest of the day.
Good on you. Thanks, Mick. There he is, Mick Guerin. Simon, they've been a great help to us over the past month on pacing Rewind, and that brings, I guess, the carnival to a close now. Of course, the sales are on today, but the carnival is done for another year.
How was the attendance on track last night, as large as it was last year?
Yeah, look, Simon, it's very hard. From my vantage point, it's very hard to gauge a crowd because I'm looking at the lawn areas, but there was, I think, three marquees, all the function rooms with chockers, the rooftop terrace was being utilised. So very hard to gauge. Some people I spoke to estimated the crowd in excess of 8. Some said between 7 and 9. So we'll pluck the figure 8, but I'm not sure whether I'll be able to get a crowd figure, but it did look healthy. But the one thing, it was a very euphoric type crowd. A lot of young people there. It was a happy crowd. Everyone was having a good time, and that's what you want at the racetrack. It was a real good night of racing. The horses put on the show for us, and I'm sure the crowd were entertained. Simon, just before I do go, because I've got to give way to, of course, the Greyhound segment. They had a big night themselves last night. But Wagga have their grand opening. They've had a few soft opening, or they've had a few meetings just to see how the track's faring. But they're actually next Sunday, their official opening. It's going to be a massive day down there at the Riverina Paceway. So if you're thinking of something to do next weekend, head off to Wagga Wagga and see how the new track and the big grand opening fares.
Sounds good. Fred, thanks very much for your help, and we'll chat soon.
Yeah, good on you, Simon. Cheers.
Freddy Hastings there. It's 12 minutes to 11, and in just a moment, Ron Arnold will join me for this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account bets only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamblers Help 1-800-858-858.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
Premiership-winning halfback Chad Townsend. Good morning, Chad.
Morning, boys. Thanks for having me.
Obviously, a change of coach. Shane Flanagan is out and John Morris is in. How's he fitted in?
Yeah, he's been excellent. Obviously, a few of the boys asked to play, John Morris, myself including. And one thing I really remembered about him when he was a player was that he was just extremely professional in the way he prepared and recovered from games. And he's really taken that into his coaching approach. And the boys are very happy to have him on board. Has a lot of fresh, new ideas that are going to bring our attack to life.
The Big Sports Breakfast, 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing One. Brought to you by Tab and Volkswagen Amarok.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing, and you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
And as Fred Hastings mentioned, it was a big night of action in the world of greyhound racing. Ron Arnold joins me now, and Ron, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, everyone. And certainly been a massive 24 hours in all the racing codes, to be honest with you, from Winks to Miracle Miles. And Greyhounds have been the bookshelf at both ends, starting Friday night at Richmond with the heats of the Derby and Oaks, and, of course, culminating down at the Meadows last night with the Australian Cup, sponsored by the TAB, and the Fanta Bale Superstayer. So the punters would be very, very worn out by this morning.
Let's start by putting the focus on the big meeting from the Meadows last night and take in a replay of the Group 1 TAB Australian Cup.
Racing, Myra Demas side again, and Dinah Patty away brilliantly, going up quickly back over him to the outside. They were followed by Shimmer Breeze into the first turn, out of the tail of the field there. Shimmer Breeze cup to Pratt, and well back to Myra Demas going down the back straight, and Dinah Patty the leader from Black Opium to the outside, 4 lengths away, then Kane Deliver. They were followed then by Miss Splendomero, 10 lengths further back, Dinah Oscar Vago, bye bye, followed by Myra Demas coming up to the turn. Dinah Patty the leader, Black Opium trying hard, but Dinah Patty's going to win the maturity in Australian Cup double, and by 2.5 lengths, Black Opium, third homers deliver, followed further back by Bago, bye bye, and then came Miss Wendy.
So that was the replay there of the Australian Cup, and Dinah Patty, who wound up jumping the favourite in the end. It was an extraordinary fixed odds market, Ron. I think every runner was in single figures, bar one, that was at $81, who was Dinah Oscar. I hadn't seen a market like it, but Dinah Patty did wound up jumping a narrow favourite.
Yeah, no doubt box one plays the part in those big races, Simon, when you've got a bit of early pace and you've got some time on the board. Now, certainly she's been doing everything right. You know, obviously last night with the win, takes her past the $500,000 in stakes. And, you know, she's a serious greyhound. And, you know, we've got to acknowledge the wonderful efforts of this greyhound, Fernando Bale. Not only was he probably the best sprinting greyhound many say they've ever seen, he's now just culminated in becoming an absolute superstar at stud. And, you know, I think the history books may all, you know, little things like they'll remember the Winx as being the greatest horse of all time. I think Fernando Bale can tag now that, give him a few more years and he'll be tagged the greatest greyhound of all time. He won both the features there last night, or produced both the features there last night. It's just awesome. He had 6 finalists himself in the Australian Cup. It's just total domination. But congratulations to the Wheelers and to the Dailies. Over the last couple of years, you know, they've been a little bit quiet at the big end of town. They were very dominant for many, many years, and it's great to see them back there on top. And there was a great effort by the runner-up, Black Opium. Just couldn't cross there at an important time. And but again, they're greyhounds that we look forward to see here when the Golden Easter Egg, and it's only looming about 6 or 7 weeks away.
And Ron, the quickest of the heat runners, Bago Bye-Bye from Box 4, it's got a bit of a squeeze at the start there and was put out of play.
Yeah, there certainly was. There was a bit of trouble at the back end of town, and, you know, Miss Splendomero copped a bit. My Redeemer copped plenty. So at those sort of races, you just can't afford it. But I must admit, Bago Bye-Bye, when you look at its performance, you know, it was giving a greyhound like Miss Splendomero about 6th of the home corner, and they basically dead-heated for 4th. He has just got a huge motor, and, you know, as I say, if he can keep his mind on the job and sort of come to Sydney, he's going to be something that the punters and fans will certainly like to come and see.
One of the other features on the night, Ron, was the Fanta Bale Superstayers final. Let's take in a replay of this. It was race 4 on the card.
Racing, and Toledo turns a little bit slow to get away, very fast there. Black Impala found the front, settling down from Paco Dorado. Toledo Tears trapped on the outside and drifting back there. Toledo Tears at the second last, down the straight with a lap to go, and it's Black Impala leader. Up on the inside there goes Blue Moon Rising, followed by Paco Dorado. Gap of the race here to Double G, followed further back to a Boom Down, and they were followed by Toledo Tears with a Herculean job there, and they were followed further back by Ebby River, and back at the tail is Pevertide, down the back there run though, and Blue Rising the leader, 2 lengths clear, Paco Dorado, followed over on the inside then by Boom Down, then came Double G on the outside. They turn for home though, Blue Moon Rising the leader, Blue Moon Rising in front, close to home, and Blue Moon Rising won it from Double G. Third home is Boom Down from Toledo Tears. They were followed then by Ebby River.
So it was a rough result for the Superstars final last night. Ron, Blue Moon Rising for John Finn at 30-1, defeating Double G and Boom Down. And the three's on favourite for the race, Toledo Tears, just had too much work to do.
Yeah, that happens sometimes in those races when you sort of get caught up in the backwash. And, yeah, Toledo was never really in the hunt, copped a lot of interference at different stages. But, you know, full marks to John and Minnie Finn. Obviously, you know, we've watched this marvellous litter, Fernando Bale, Chica Desta Carter, produce, you know, 3 greyhounds that have been dominant at Wentworth Park. Now for the last 6 or 8 months, you know, Paco Dorado, Blue Moon Rising, and Veloce Nero, who will touch bases in a moment in the Big Richmond final next week as well. And Now, the litter is now over $600,000 in prize money. You just dream, Simon, to buy, you know, greyhounds like this out of the one litter and every one of them become Group 1. It's just staggering. And, you know, full marks to John and Mindy. The dog's been going huge. It's won, you know, three out of its last five starts and 2 seconds. And to be honest with you, they touched 100-1 at the fixed odds for a very short moment during that race. And that was the greatest overs I've seen in greyhound racing, or any racing for that matter, in 5 decades.
Extraordinary. You mentioned Richmond there a moment ago, Ron. Well, Friday night we had the heats for the Richmond Derby and the Richmond Oaks on. Let's take in a replay now of the second heat of the Oaks, which was won by Jason Mackay's runner, Zipping Bailey.
Racing, Cosmic Bling got away cleanly, Zipping Bailey moderately away, showing speed, Tornado Time. Cosmic Blend moving up on the outside and got a beautiful run across. Cosmic Blend led by 5 into the back over Tornado Time below J. Nero. Zipping Bailey's about to unload and go out after the leader. They'll followed by Nino De Euro. She's got Soul and Subway Miss. Front runner is Cosmic Blend. Here comes Zipping Bailey winding up. Cosmic Blend by 2, 1, 3/4. Zipping Bailey reeled it in. Zipping Bailey won the cash. Zipping Bailey too strong for Cosmic Blend. Veloce Nero hammered home.
So that was Zipping Bailey's win of the second heat of the Richmond Oaks there, Ron. Was that the quickest of the heats?
Zipping Bailey went around in 30 and 54. Mystic Riot was 30 and 40. And the other heat winner, Set the Storm, was also 30 and 54. I have got the box draw very quickly, Simon, for that Oaks final. From number one's Cosmic Blend, Miss Wing Wong is in 2, Damn Slippery 3, Ben Kenny Chick 4, Veloce Nero is in 5, Set the Storm 6, Mystic Riot is 7, and it's at the moment on the tab the pre-post favourite at $3, and Zipping Bailey is in box 8 at $4.40. Of course, Mystic Riot was the greyhound for Pete Lagoggiani, who won the $1 million chase in the greyhound world back in October, and you know, it's held its form, and now it's going to the boxes as a favourite for another big feature, and it's a wonderful training achievement there by Pete and all his team.
And did you have the box draw, Ron, for the Derby?
Yeah, got the Derby as well. In box 1 we have Catch Me Curly, box 2 is North, 3 is Slingshot Hammer, 4 is 2 times Twice, box 5 You Know Fabio, box 6 is Black Forge, 7 is Lagoon Ret, and Rockstar Beeve is in box number 8. The fastest of those qualifiers was Rockstar Beeve in 30 and 35. The rest of them are all, you could throw a blanket over them, Slingshot Hammer 30 and 48, You Know Fabio 42, and Lagoon Ret 30 and 47. The TAB has Slingshot Hammer, the slight favourite at $3.50, just in front of Lagoon Ret at $4.50. But it's a wide open market, the Derby, and you know, it's been won by some of the great greyhounds of the past that have gone on and won plenty of big group races. We all remember Cyrus the Virus of a decade back, went on a few weeks later and won the Golden Easter Egg. So it's a very special race. Time on to the Richmond Derby, we can assure you, and it'll be a great night there on Friday night with the club.
Who's your tip in the Richmond Derby this year?
Look, I'm tossing up between North and Lagoon Ret. I just got to think, Lagoon Ret's been around in these sort of features before and has just got great pace from when drawn out wide. I just lean that way, but I think North is a greyhound that's got a nice little race in it somewhere along the line, and from box number 2, might just take a nice early posse. And again, you're going to have a little bit of value there at $6 at the present moment. For those wanting to bet each way, probably North the go, but I would lean just towards Lagoon Ret at the present moment.
Outside of Richmond, with their big meeting coming up on Friday, anything else big happening in New South Wales over the next 7 days?
Well, yeah, obviously over the next month of March, of course, there's plenty happening. They've got special races at Wentworth Park on a Friday night, where they're certainly trying to promote big city racing leading into the Golden Easter Egg. Again, it's sort of looming very quickly. That big series starts on April 6th, so you know, we're basically 5 weeks away from the start of another Golden Easter Egg, and you just wonder, Simon, how quickly time flies. But you know, all the great greyhounds will be up. But you know, it's a big period over the Easter period, of course, when the 20th of April is the big grand final. The week before is the championships at Randwick. So, you know, Sydney comes alive for that 7 days. And, you know, greyhound racing, it's wonderful to be part of it and to be in a mix, the big city, when the big crowds come and the big turnovers there. And obviously you see the number one Group 1 performers. That's what gets people through the gate.
Yeah, you mentioned Cyrus the Virus before. It's hard to believe that's been 16 years now.
I know. Time flies. I remember that night so well, so I must be getting too old in the tooth, Simon. It might be time for me to go off to the bloody training paddock, I suppose, and just enjoy it now, sir.
I remember that afternoon, Grand Army knocked off Lonro in the Doncaster.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, some great names in racing. We could probably write a book about the history, mate, but anyway, there's plenty more to come to. There's certainly some great stories still to be found.
Hey, Ron, thanks for stepping in and helping us out with Chasing Rewind this morning. Enjoy the week ahead, and we'll chat again soon.
All good, Simon. All the best, mate. Take care.
There he is, Ronnie Arnold from Wentworth Park. It's 11 o'clock. I'll take a break, and then Gary Cleese will run the eye across Armidale.
And now for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
The very best of